I don't want to be here.
Why, darling?
Because James is gone and you aren't.
Oh, that's sad. Sorry.
It's so bad.
Nick DiPaolo said, really, God? Seriously? You're going to take him? A good one? And you left the entire cast of Big Bang.
He's not a good one. He's a great one. He's the best.
Oh, he's great. Was, I mean.
Oh, no.
Past tense.
No, I don't. Wah to the past tense. Wah.
It's all that gabagool is giving him wings.
All right. We'll get to your gabagool line in a second. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. With me today, the lovely Allison Frank.
Oh, that's me. Oh, my goodness.
Aren't you lovely?
Oh, absolutely. I feel beautiful.
I'm trying to describe what you're wearing in studio right now. Yeah. I have one of my coats that I leave in the back of my car in case it gets cold.
Actually, yes.
I also use it as a napkin when eating on the road. And you're wearing that because it's perpetually an iceberg in the studio.
It is very cold in here.
And you've got a polo shirt unbuttoned down to your navel. Showing your cleavage.
Just letting it breathe.
Yeah, and then kind of a white tank top on underneath with no bra. So your big tea saucer areolas are just poking right through.
You wish, jellyfish.
That's how you get the listeners.
Oh, I mean, yes, I'm naked.
Oh, I like this. We have an actual way to edit that one, YouTube user. Nice episode beginning.
We went to a rodeo next.
Oh, my God. Show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there, and if you do anything, click on the iTunes link at the top and subscribe and rate us highly, because that's what matters.
Yes,
we don't
darling.
Care that we put out a good show. We just want Twitter followers and iTunes subscribers and Facebook likes.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/papasbasement for that.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, I'm at Papa's Basement, and Allison is at Allison Frank, AllisonFrank.
Yep, that's me.
I just want to talk about Gandolfini. I could do it the whole episode.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I couldn't.
Really? I'll do it. I'll burn out in like 8 minutes, so just let me go.
Oh, my. So,
it's the saddest thing ever.
I don't know if it's the saddest thing
ever. It is literally the saddest thing ever. This was my JFK assassination. How's that? Did you come up and like watch The Sopranos for the duration of the show or what?
I actually, when it first came out, it was that and 6 Feet Under that were big. They were back to back.
That was what I called the gay show. I didn't watch that.
Yeah, but it didn't start off being the gay show because you didn't know, I don't think.
I've heard good things. I've never really watched a bit. Was Dexter on it?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He was the gay one.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We talked about this before because his boyfriend was a black guy and I thought he was handsome.
I remember that one. That was shocking.
Yeah.
I remember one episode that I saw and it was with my friend and his family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Dexter imagining sex with other guys and like pounding off while having phone sex. Yeah. It couldn't have been a more awkward thing to when you're high school age to have parents in the room watching you with. And of course you turn around, the mom's just having to laugh and be like, oh my God, could the channel change? God damn it.
No, I mean, I was married, so I mean, I got into it and I got into The Sopranos. It was a big thing.
So you got into black guys. That's what you're.
No.
Oh.
Mm-mm. But anyhow, The Sopranos I followed like pretty closely, I think, the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just got busy and I kind of dropped off. And then I just saw, you know, an episode here or there. I wasn't like a diehard person. Initially, I was. And it was before DVR, so you had to get home and watch it. So.
I got into it with said friend, Stefan.
Yeah.
Stefan's family. I loved Stefan because he had HBO. So we'd go over there every Friday, and I would constantly catch Sopranos reruns. So I caught most of season one that way, and I felt like I was kind of up on it. And we didn't get HBO in the house until season four, like with Ralphie and Piamai and all that. But the family was hooked immediately.
Yeah,
that became literally the one thing the Papa Giorgio family did together. This is like right after my dad died. Yeah. So it's just me, Will, my mom. We're trying to find anything that brings us happiness. And Sunday night, man, Sopranos was on. And it was, do you remember how interminable it was? Like there were gaps bigger than the seasons themselves between the seasons.
Yeah.
Like you would get 12 episodes and then it was like, okay, you will wait another 14 years. For the new season to come out.
Yeah.
What are you laptoping?
Nothing.
Is it really important?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. It's fine if you're tapping on your laptop if you've had like the cancer.
Right.
Take your throat and that's how you're going to communicate. Or you're Stephen Hawking.
That's
And you're just using your eyeballs to scroll through and hit keys.
Yeah. So
I was crushed when I heard this news.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted me about it or something like that. They're like, what do you think of James Gandolfini dying? That was me. Some loosey goosey.
I was like, why didn't you tell me? You're like,
you told me, and I was like, please let this be a joke. Please, God, please.
Yeah, I sent a text. I said, yeah, Gandolfini's, yeah.
And it was one of those deals where you Google it, and the top hits are like, AP posted 2 minutes ago.
Yeah,
it
4 minutes.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you've ever listened to the show, I get such a rod making fun of people who are like, I loved Michael so much. I can't believe he's gone. And they're weepy about people they never knew.
Yeah.
It warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah.
I welled up like a little bitch.
Aww.
At this guy dying.
Yeah.
I am not kidding.
My friend was at work and he said somebody came up to him and he was tearful and said, oh, did you hear,
It's passed? Horrible. Yeah. And what's really funny, no one gives a crap about James Gandolfini's career outside of Tony Soprano. We're almost more sad that this character really is dead than Gandolfini's gone. Like, I'm sorry that he's talented.
Yeah.
He's very talented. Just what he brought to Tony Soprano, I guess that physique of his and that build and the face, he couldn't really do a ton of things. Like, he always had to be a bigger guy and kind of intimidating for the most part. Like, he's not going to be Ratso from, the Dustin Hoffman role from, what's it, Midnight Cowboy. He can't be, like, the little dirty guy. No, he's the big guy who'll pound your effing face in if you cross him.
But, I mean, it's good. I mean, I saw him in Killing Me Softly, which I like that movie, with Brad Pitt. And his character in that was great. So it was fun.
Everything you've seen him in, he's good. But you're never like, oh, God, James Gandolfini's dead. I'll never see him do another 8-minute bit part in this movie.
I don't know. I think he's engaging. I think people like to watch him on there, you know? So
for me, it was just the Sopranos thing. Yeah. I cannot articulate how much I love that show. And I don't think I'm the only one.
Well, it's nice when you don't see actors acting. You know what I mean? It is refreshing. I mean, I've watched a couple of programs here over the last day or so, and it's painful to watch someone who is not talented on screen. And then we take
or
those.
Or listen to him behind the mic.
But I think we take those people who do it so flawlessly, you know, we just take it for granted. Like, he's an actor. Of course he's going to be great. But no, I mean, they're just.
I don't want to trivialize it, but it's so true of like porn. Where you're watching a girl get nailed.
Absolutely.
Man, she really likes this. No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't.
I just saw, like, from the Twitter thing, and you go a couple leaps and you click a couple pages, and then you kind of get lost on this little bunny trail, and I hopped on something, and that was her business. I guess she does, I forget her name.
Wait, are we talking about
reality porn?
You tweeted a porn actress?
I didn't tweet her, but I was on someone's Twitter page, and then I saw a comment they made, and then
porn, like Bang Bros?
No, I think it's probably like more self-promotion.
Is that just what you call sex? I made reality porn last night.
Meaning it's not production. I mean, it's just.
That's all porn.
But I mean, there's sets and storylines and those kinds of things.
Unless you're Burt Reynolds and Boogie Nights, that's all porn. It's a real movie, Jack.
Anyhow, but some of the things on there, I was just like, oh, seriously? Are you guys buying this? This is horrible.
I didn't hear you. I'm running my hands under the console. I just dislodged a booger, and it wasn't mine. I need a machete to cut off a digit.
But if you think about it.
It'll never be clean.
Just think about all the boogers that are put everywhere. So.
I don't touch all of them. This one I did, and it fell like an angel's wing from the heavens.
Well, then that's good luck. We're going to have a great show.
Oh, okay. So. Well, off to a strong start. I think people were really, I can't remember the last time people have just openly been like, this is bumming the hell out of me.
Well, I think even a lot of celebrities, people who have knew him and worked with him or whatever, just say he was a stand-up guy and they enjoyed working with him.
Yeah, it's always nice.
Though,
learning that he wasn't an ass in death.
Yeah.
Because that's the one time these guys are free to be dicks.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean.
Joan Crawford dies. It's just like, she was a boozy bitch. Next. Get her out of here.
Yeah.
Throw a match on her. She'll go right up.
Yeah, but a lot of the Sopranos people, they're all bummed. They're like, the Sopranos
movie. Of course,
movie
no Sopranos and- movie money.
Yeah. But I didn't know there was one in the works, so it was
there
nice
wasn't.
To me. Yeah.
There wasn't. I. Yeah. And if they did do it, it was going to have to be like in between seasons because everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Everyone, spoiler alert. Almost everyone's dead. Unless it was just going to be Tony sitting around with the family. And
yeah. I mean,
he's
just
killed
wondered.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't follow. I need to go back and see some of that. I mean, I kind of like that. And I like, you kind of get spoiled now that we have DVR and Netflix and all these kinds of things where we can just sit there and just, you know, consumerism's finest and just gobble an entire season in one sitting. You know what I mean? You can just watch one after the other.
Well,
you don't
lost
have to
the,
wait.
You've lost yeah. the magic of, yeah. I don't want to
say,
say
you
because
lost
a
it.
Lot
I mean,
of,
that's what got me into Game of Thrones, you know, had I not done it that way, you know?
You wouldn't have been able to wait.
Yeah.
The problem is, I guess it's that you can go back and crush past seasons.
Yeah.
Like, that's the new thing.
Yeah.
Because you still wait week to week.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's,
when you're caught up.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, for me, I missed the last however many there were. Was there six altogether, or how many were there? I don't know.
Of Sopranos?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was, like, five regular seasons, and then six was broken into two. They were called mini seasons, but they were, like, two episodes shy of a full season of pop
gotcha.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's, yeah, 6A and B or something like that.
I gotcha.
So. It blows my mind that I think AMC is running promos for Mad Men.
Right.
And they're like, called the best drama of all time by such and such. And it's like, who gets the balls
yeah.
to say that?
Maybe because it's network. You know what I mean? It's not cable. You know what I mean? So they're not putting themselves in the same because
they're on
cable. Yeah, but HBO, they're premium and stuff like that.
I just mean, there wouldn't be Mad Men. Like, yeah. literally, the Matt Weiner or yeah. whatever is from Sopranos, the guy yeah. who made Mad Men.
Right.
That's why you still get, like, the weird dream sequence episodes or the trippy yeah. episodes and crap like that. But it would not exist. Every show that is currently big that you love is yeah. born out of the Sopranos' ass. Before the Sopranos, do you remember sitting down with your friends to yeah. watch the adult-themed show on Sunday night that you would be discussing the whole next week? No, you don't, because it didn't exist.
Well, I'm sure there's always been big shows, but you're right.
Sopranos were, that was the Beatles
but
on
I know
Sullivan.
A lot of people who hate it. They just, they think it's okay.
You know, dumb people. Unequivocally stupid.
Yeah, that's right.
Who are these idiots?
My friend Klosterman, he's one.
Klosterman, you're a damn fool. Is that the one we had on the show?
Yeah.
I regret it. We made a big mistake.
He said it like you. It's like, for him, it's a Scarlett Johansson. Like, he likes it and he appreciates it. He loves Gandolfini and he was crushed to lose him.
Why?
Because he likes
James doesn't need you, Klosterman, you piece of dung.
But he's saying
he's got real people that cared about him.
That's right, you. And your
yeah,
cat.
Me. Yeah, the cats watched a couple episodes with me recently. Oh, I might have been watching every damn episode as they air it on HBO Signature, 8 p.m. Monday through Friday,
well,
with a West Coast repeat
right.
at 11. You know what really got me, too?
What's up?
The night he died, HBO like flip-flopped a couple episodes around so yeah. that it aired, I think, at 9:30 instead of 8. And they took the time to stick like a little five-second thing, like in memoriam.
Oh.
You know, the HBO family lost someone. Got me.
Yeah.
Tears in my pissy little eyes again. Got me.
Oh, man.
Who are your other friends?
That don't like him? I
yeah.
mean, just some people
we
just...
We have Klosterman, the prince of idiocy, and who else?
Klosterman's fine. He likes a lot of other things, but I mean, that's like you
not
saying...
Not good
you,
things.
You don't like Scarlett Johansson. You don't
whoa,
think
whoa,
she's
whoa,
the cat's
whoa, whoa.
Pajamas.
In her day, she was. Like,
well,
the beginning of
but she's
Lost
not,
in
she's
Translation
not a troll.
Should have been me yanking down those britches.
What about Match Point?
And
she
going
was
to Rimtown.
Great in
she was
Point.
Amazing in yeah. Match Point.
Yeah. So?
I'm just saying now. Like,
but she's
once,
not a troll. She's not a dumpster diving, you know, Amanda
no,
Bynes something.
No
you know,
one is
going to
say she's like unequivocally the hottest woman that ever lived either.
People do. People just adore her.
Well, people are dumb sometimes. She was great. I mean, she could have fought for the title
yeah.
up until I think it was the,
until
her Avengers
and,
or Iron Man.
Her and Ryan Reynolds broke up. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan.
Did he have a clay head of his made by a blind woman?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
When she lost a ton of weight, it just happens to some chicks. Like, yeah. They have these naturally huge trusts. I've looked at a lot of porn, tracked a lot of careers. They have these naturally huge ones that just kind of deflate. And yeah. It's not like they get, like, small. They're not, yeah. like, 32 A's afterward. But they go from, like, 36 double D to, like,
yeah.
34 C. And it's, like, it's still big, but yeah. It ain't, yeah.
Who cares? I don't know.
Me.
Boobs are
me.
Boobs. Well, I mean,
good boobs are great.
I mean, he can recognize the talents, but he just isn't, you know, over the moon for it. The Sopranos, and wow. Some other people don't like the violence of it.
That's
language.
A real complaint. Yeah. Okay, if you want to be like a little teetotaling yeah. fruit about it,
yeah,
I get that. But yeah. if you can handle like Pulp Fiction, and then you walk up to me,
but
you're like, Sopranos, boo, get out. I don't need you.
No, but I think there's a certain kind of culture that they just don't want to see that. And there was a lot of sex and violence and those kinds of things.
That's why it was great. Like, that was just such an addition. Those Bing girls with their big fakies. And then him oh, God, his Gumars were so great.
Oh, my.
That Russian broad, the first yeah. couple of seasons, she wasn't bad. I liked that a lot. Probably Gloria Trillo. The Italian broad from Jungle Fever.
Oh, my.
She was, I don't think you ever saw her naked. That was really frustrating. But there was like a lot of really hot stuff where she was in garters and she would be like, check how wet I am. It would grab like his big catcher's mitt and shove it between the silk stockings. He'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. There's that. Maybe the best was Valentina La Paz, the one who's supposed to be half Cuban, half Italian.
I don't know.
And eventually she lights herself on fire.
Ew.
She got naked a lot, and she looked like really dirty.
Oh, my.
There's so much good tail on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't
and
know.
And he had his dick in most of it.
Gross.
No, it was great. You wanted him rewarded. That was the best part of that show. He made you like Tony,
yeah.
even though Tony was a massive piece of crap.
Yeah.
Like, there were scenes, there were so many places in that show where he could have played it like with a sly wink, like I'm doing something bad but I'm a good boy,
yeah,
kind of crap. But he just lays into Mel. There are times he's screaming at Melfi in her face, calling her a cunt, and he's about to lay her out like he's got his fist cocked. He didn't care, man. Honey Badger don't care.
No, I mean, actually, those are the actors that you really do enjoy, where you're actually rooting for the
They're
villain.
Doing some bad stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's
at the end of the day, he was a murderer.
Yeah.
He was a real piece of... He made the world a crappier yeah. place, but you watch with rapt attention.
I just saw this Gosling movie, and he's the villain. He's the creep or whatever, and he's a real douchebag in the film. But he is... You really are cheering for him. You want the movie to be about the douchebag. You don't
Which
care.
Which one is this?
Oh, it's The Forest Beyond the Trees or something.
Oh, the pine in the woods
yeah, yeah.
and the needle
yeah.
and the haystack?
And that, to me, is kind of like how you describe Superman. Like, the first... half or whatever.
Are we getting into Superman?
No,
is this the segue?
No,
you did a good job. If that's how you're slipping it in, you'd get to slip it in.
I'm just saying, like, that is just like, you're really, the first half you're very engaged, but he's the villain. You're not supposed to like him, but you really are cheering for this douchebag. You just
love
want him
a good villain.
Yeah, exactly.
Love a good villain.
And they did that in what was the other movie I was going to talk about? They where it's just the bad guy, and you're like, oh, Donnie Brasco. I mean, here's both Pacino and
Lefty.
And they're just doing these horrible things, but you're thinking, oh, man, come on, snake out. Like, get him. Don't take him to jail.
You could.
He's turning around.
The entire time you watch The Sopranos, you're like, oh, my God, escape the feds.
Yeah.
I don't want the RICO. When that bug, like, gets fried because Meadow takes the lamp with her to college, you're like, oh, thank God they won't bust Tony. He can murder more Italians.
Exactly.
Thank Christ. He can bang more
but
Gumars.
But not everyone can do that. You know what I mean? Not everyone. Like, Tom Hanks played a villain in a movie. I don't remember the name. With Jude Law. And he was
Castaway.
Jude Law was not in
He was the voice of the volleyball.
Jude Law is Wilson.
Yes.
No, it's some other one where they just play.
Perdition.
Yes, exactly. See, that's what you're here for. Anyhow, you're just the whole time, like, Tom Hanks is his.
He's just a mute little weirdo.
He's murder for hire. Like, he's the top gun and everyone's going down. But you're like, ah, come on. Like, you know what I mean?
You can't play it at all. No.
Like, Forrest, knock it off.
You're like,
you're not rooting for him.
You killed a man. Now dance on that piano.
Come on, give us some chocolates. Like, this is just, you're not buying it the whole time. You're just like, where's Jenny? Come on.
Exactly.
Don't you have to go home to your little forest?
Don't you have an American flag to hug and smile with?
Aren't you supposed to be?
You're just our darling. We all love you.
I started running and running and shouting people.
I killed them. Yeah.
It's just like, come on. So it does take someone. I mean, Hanks is good. I think he's endearing, great, but not as
but
a villain.
I guess everyone has their capacity. Yeah. You know, he's good in those, like, this is the serious scene. Yeah. We're playing the serious music.
Yeah.
And Hanks delivers the serious line type things. Yeah. Like, he needs that orchestral Apollo 13 where it's, yeah, like, gentlemen, it's been an honor. And then you get the lump in your throat because he sounds all ballsy and something, like, intense is happening on screen.
Paul Newman's last role, I don't remember what it was.
I think it was Perdition.
Oh, was it?
Paul Newman? Pretty sure. He was ancient at the time of that.
And then he does this scene where,
like,
it's very
passionate.
They
had to pull out his respirator to suffocate him at the end.
He, like, where he pounds the desk. And I thought, you know what? He's in for an Oscar for this one. And he was. He was up for an award for that. Uh-huh. And I think, you know what? Just because he's old and
I was
he's gonna got
say,
passionate,
yeah,
about something, they're like, you know.
No old guy pounds with that sort of vehemence. You do it, and then you're like, my wrist is broken.
But he's such an icon, Paul Newman. So I just thought, you know, he's going to take a sweep just because he's nearly dead and whatever. He pounded his fist so passionately. But really, I mean, Tom Hanks could have just flushed that whole thing. I mean, it was just not believable at all. It was horrible. Oh, is that your phone? Is something really important? Is that the president?
Apparently.
Oh, my gosh. Is the queen on the line?
I had it muted. Oh, actually, you know
what?
Does
the princess have a baby? Tell
Hold
me what's
on.
Happening.
I got a business call to take.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
So what you're trying to say is Paul Newman's old.
Well, he's dead.
That too.
And his salad dressing's delicious.
Are you a fan of the product?
I mean, I don't mind it. It's not my
we
absolute
never,
favorite. But
we
I
never
do
had
like
it growing up.
I do like that he was able to kind of take his brand and go with it. I think a lot of other people, they kind of just kind of gets flushed, you know. I mean, sometimes I think, and then ridiculous things take off. But I mean, I think he's got a good thing going. It's fun enough. He's got a lot of flavors.
Are you saying you want James Gandolfini bacon?
No, I don't. I don't like bacon, so.
Me neither, but I'm trying not to eat meat at the moment.
You're doing pretty good, right?
Or did I you haven't sneak slipped some? Up yet, because I'm eating seafood, first of all, yeah, which is like the biggest loophole ever. You
yeah,
get to
yeah.
chew on flesh. It's yeah. just stupid fish, which is, it's an amoeba with a tail. Like, who cares if you kill a fish? But I was at a Jap restaurant, you heard me, and don't roll your eyes. A Japanese restaurant.
Correct.
And they gave me a big bushel, for lack of a better word, of tempura. You know how you get a
yeah, yeah.
Japanese lunchbox and yeah. in the corner there's like, here's your fried crap.
Yeah.
And it's God knows what. And one of the strips looked like a shrimp with a tail. And I started eating it. And it was just kind of like a long chicken finger instead. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to eat more of it. But that tasted nice. I missed you, chicken. But I've been good. I haven't had any oopsies for the most part.
Yeah.
It hasn't been like, oh, well, I'm eating it 6 days a week. And then I pulled a Tony and crammed my cheeks with a gabagool, which you've been saying 18 times a second before the show started.
Wow. I mean, people were saying ziti and stuff, so that's ridiculous.
But your line was he ate too much gabagool, and that's why he died.
No, I said I just hoped that the gabagool gave him wings. And there you go. Because.
Really?
Yes. Because he was whacked by heart disease. That's what I said.
It's so messed
up
how
he
died.
Coming. So, yeah, I mean, but I mean, it shouldn't really be a surprise. I mean, that's like everyone devastated by Whitney Houston or whatever. I mean, or the whatever your Jungle Jack Flash.
Jungle Jack Flash? Yeah. Who's Jungle Jack Flash?
The Criss Cross kid. I mean, come on. Who cares? I
Why
mean,
did you call him Jungle Jack Flash?
I couldn't remember Criss Cross.
I like how you don't remember a black man's name and it's Jungle This and Jungle That.
I was thinking like...
You know, lip plate dreadlock. I don't...
Close enough.
Lord.
I make everybody's name up anyway. I mean, do I call your pets your pets? No.
No. So. That's true. If there were racial slurs for cats, I'm sure you'd incorporate them.
Oh, my goodness. So, there you go. I mean, there you have it.
how many ways are you going to wrap that up? There you go. There you have it. That's all there is to it. The end.
In closing.
In summation. Just talk. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
You don't need to tap your pen in Morse code telling me kill me over and over. We got tons of topics.
Yeah, we can talk about Superman next.
Let's do Superman. You were hell-bent on discussing Superman.
Well,
which,
I just think that there's some things that you missed, and I don't know why you
I missed a lot, because didn't the last episode, which is also the one where I mentioned we would all watch Blue Valentine and be prepared to discuss that on air.
But you flip-flopped it, and you got it all goofed up anyway, so. Hold on. I got to fix it.
You're literally adjusting your tits.
Somebody said something about them falling. I was like, they fall out all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so hold on.
It's like trying to hold a Criscoed ham. Just slips right out.
I can't help it. So, I mean, I agree with you on the Superman thing. So I finally went and saw it.
What was my take again? It was okay. It wasn't great. There was a lot of...
Well, I think you said the...
It jumped around a lot. That was kind of
the beginning, you said, was...
Really good.
Yeah, it was good. And then it kind of trailed off. You didn't like how the romance between Superman and Lois Lane seemed to just... It was just
It was very much like, hey, I'm a reporter. I'm coming to look for you. Okay, you found me. We're in love now.
But it's really not that way. The way that it was in the movie. I mean, she probably searched for him for a year or something. You know,
yeah,
she
but
was,
it doesn't...
Following all those trains.
Doesn't mean she's going to be in love with him.
Yeah, but that was a lot of, she did a lot of work, and so he appreciated the effort. You know what I mean? She had to travel all over the place. He's, you know, he's off to sea, he's over here.
He saves planets. He lifts up oil rigs and stuff. He's supposed to care, like, well, I had to go through a lot of microfiche to find you. Oh, really? Okay, that effort's astounding.
And then you talked about, you know, the audience kind of chiming in their own thing.
Oh, the two talkative people.
But here's the thing.
Next to me.
The thing in the beginning that bothered me, I mean, again, I understand that this is a fantasy. It's
You're
a
like,
Superman.
Why can't Superman be Asian for once?
He's an alien. And
Ken
all
Jeong's
that.
Just at home right now twiddling it, that little thing we saw
but
in the
Hangover.
But here's
the thing. In the beginning, so you have Superman's dad, right? And he goes to steal this thing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we got to do it. It's already done. I mean, it's done 2 weeks. It was number one at the box office. Everyone's already
Did it do it again
it.
This week? What was against it this week? What did
Z.
I what did
Z.
I not see? Oh, the World zombies Z. Probably
yeah.
win.
You think?
That looked like such a dud. PG-13 zombie action. So it's literally less profane than Walking Dead, which is a TV show.
I don't know what it's rated or
whatever.
PG-13. No. I'm saying like as far as percentages wise, like what's you know, what the crowds are saying about it. Or what
on Rotten Tomatoes?
Or Rotten Tomatoes.
From the critics, it had a 69%.
Oh, did it?
Teehee.
Yeah.
Superman had like 58, but...
I mean, I don't know.
I don't like Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is everything Gandolfini wasn't.
I like him in some roles. I mean, it just depends.
We just give him a pass because he's pretty. It's like, oh, look, he's so beautiful. And he didn't F that up horribly. It's the same... I'm the biggest pig. Because I judge on the same scale. Like, I just look at a hot broad, and then they talk, and I'm like, oh, you're not a complete idiot. You're just a genius to me. You know that? And I can have a real discussion with someone who isn't the foxiest thing on earth. And I'm just like, yeah, but you don't have tits like that.
Well, I mean, we've said that before, too. Like, if you've dated a 2 or 3 or 4, and then you meet a 5, you're like, wow, she's amazing. No, she's just not a 2.
Yeah.
She's not amazing. She's still a 5.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, compared to the 2.
This is like the progression of John's love life.
2s to 5s.
I'm just
back to 2s.
Well, yeah.
So here in the beginning of Superman, you get Superman's dad, and he goes
Gladiator himself.
Yeah, and he steals the thing that's got their future and the seed of their planet to keep it going.
Sounds like you're talking about a vial of cum.
Yeah, basically. That's what it is. He went and swam in the ocean, dug up this thing.
He just takes his cum vial and sticks it in baby Superman's ass.
Basically.
It says, fly home with it.
Kind of.
Little Kal-El.
But the thing is, what happens is now, because he stole this thing, now alarms are going off. But Superman's dad, he's a bigwig. Like, he's talking with, I don't know, the president and the queen or whoever they are. Like, he's a bigwig up there. And Zod's up there also.
Okay.
So for him to do this.
I can explain if you want. He's at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Superman's dad, the master and commander.
Oh, is that what it is? But then what is Zoth?
No, no. It's referencing the movie Master and Commander with Russell Crowe.
Oh, I gotcha. I'm lost.
I know. Wait, he was talking to a Cinderella man up there too? No, Russell Crowe is, he's supposed to be like a, their chief scientist on the planet of Krypton.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
And he's talking to, yeah, some sort of ruling council.
But he does tech stuff too, so yeah.
Some junk. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he's a scientific guy. He's supposed to be like, but he's also got ninja moves. I appreciate that. I don't like that there's real combat in any movie anymore. Whenever you tangle with anyone, they know how to throw down.
I don't. Yeah, because he's a scientist.
Blows to the solar plexus, flipping people over,
right,
grabbing guns out of hands.
He's in this Jetson fantasy world, so everyone knows jujitsu or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't taking breaks in between?
But when you go to your pharmacist and they're like, "There's a gunman," he's like, "Oh,
yeah."
He's like Don Knotts back there with his one bullet. You know. Well, get him, Andy. Like, yeah. You're like, where's the jujitsu now? Yeah, I get what you're saying. But here's the thing. So he steals this thing. Alarms are going off like, whoa, something's going down. Somebody stole something. Let's get on this. And what does he do? He gets on, like, it's a futuristic planet, is Krypton.
And he rides a pterodactyl.
But the thing is, here's the thing, right? It's like Jetsons kind of meet the Hobbit or Game of Thrones or whatever. So they have, like, these dragonfly looking things.
Yeah.
But they have... they have vehicles that also look like the dragon. He hops on his pet.
Well, it's the same way our cars are just automated horses.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. So he hops on his burro.
Yeah.
Right? To get away from the bad guys.
He has some sort of like dragonfly / dragon, like an actual dragon looking creature.
But the other people have...
they're in jet fighters.
Right.
Yeah.
That are also shaped like... dragons.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, that's why when we talk about cars, it's X number horsepower. But I mean, do we even need that term anymore? Because he's just jetting around.
We could just
call
it vroom juice.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And I thought, why is he? And then you think, well, maybe like someone who collects cars, like Fred Sanford's truck, it's a nostalgia thing. You know, he prefers Fred Sanford's truck, even though he's got a Bentley or he has one of these space tech dragonfly things. But yet he
gets. So that's his version of a beater pickup.
I guess.
Riding the old pterodactyl
to work.
But not only
that, he rides off on his burro, his dragonfly donkey thing, right? And he's like, yeah, let's get out of here. They're like, pew, 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 chasing him in these futuristic vehicles, right? Yeah. And he gets away.
They weren't actually shooting, by the way. They're just looking at him going, pew, pew.
I'm like, but then he lands and he's back to his house.
Well, the burro paid with his life.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. And he died. He killed his dino.
Yeah.
He killed his dog.
Well, I like the fact that the burro apparently gets like a cheek shot, which doesn't just blow its head off like a melon at a Gallagher show.
And he's just
kind of has like a little cheek scar. And he's like, oh, hold together, girl. And then you think like they're going to land and the dragon's going to wipe its mouth and be like, gee, that's smart. But no, that was a headshot. The dragon's just still alive. And he crashes it into the platform. You just see this corpse go.
Yeah. You feel bad.
All
like, you
tumbled
know,
up on itself.
Like, John, the cops are outside. We're going to go fire up a burrow and just try and get away.
Like, it could have been more embarrassing if this dragon tumbles and then craps on itself as it dies.
Yeah, it was so sad. You felt bad. But then how did he even get ahead really on this thing? I mean, there's a cop chase. We're not getting away on your donkey.
Well, you know, they've made like artificial intelligence on this planet, but you can't ever make a craft faster than a flying dragon. Come on.
I guess not.
Don't talk crazy talk, Frank.
So then it moves ahead, and there's the scene now where Lois Lane and they're in this Alaskan Grand Canyon kind of place. So it's like the Grand Canyon, but it's all frozen over. And so she's
on the Fortress of Solitude, I believe. It's
it is the Fortress of Solitude, but it is in the original Superman movies, they make it seem like it's somewhere so far removed. Like, we don't really know where
it's
is.
Supposed
the North
to be
Pole
like the
wherever.
Penguins look up there. And
yeah,
like, not me, man.
Exactly. But this is where humans were camping out. They set up a base camp, kind of like Everest. Uh-huh. And then across the canyon, they had like another camp set up over there. So Lois Lane's like, oh, yeah, it's like, you know, a zillion below zero. I think I'll just put on this little parka
and go out
and take
Chris
pictures.
Maloney is like, don't open the canister we've got you in because your nipples will freeze and break off.
Yeah.
And just piss in this bucket.
And meanwhile, she's zipping up outside and going to take some, you know, nice
she's
shots.
Marching around at midnight. Yeah. She's a New York girl. Nothing's going to keep her down.
So I get the super zoom, and I get this, you know, my camera is old as it is. It does have a 12x zoom on it, and I can see people miles away. I mean, it really does have
that
a super
sinister
zoom.
Continue.
So for her to kind of get a visual on Superman across this canyon, this Icelandic
I like how
canyon,
he wasn't super flying or super striding quickly.
No.
Superman was having a nice leisurely stroll around
and
this
not only
icy
that,
hell.
She says, monologuing to herself, I wonder what he's up to. Superman's in jeans and a t-shirt. Not
yeah.
like, where the heck is his coat? You know?
Who is this man not freezing to death?
So she says, I'm going to go see what he's up to. And 2 seconds later, she just crosses the Grand Canyon.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She just skips over, and she manages to catch up with Superman.
I want to bend over and vomit walking through more than 4 inches of snow from my car to my front door.
Yeah, it's like
I want to roll over and just say, go on without me, and make that final dying yeah. spasm snow angel.
But the thing is, like you said, when they set up the film, which I really liked how they set that up with, you know, with him hearing audibly, like he can hear, you think of Superman, you think, wow, how can he hear the screams from, you know, 5 blocks away? And yet they kind of resonated with like the pencil tapping and all those things that are
well,
kind
he hears
of in-
everything.
Exactly.
And he has to learn to scale it down.
Right.
And his X-ray vision, everyone looks like a talking Grey's Anatomy to him.
But here's the thing. He has this ability. Now he's in this fortress of solitude or whatever, and it's big. He knows something's big, but yet he kind of senses a connection to it and knows he's supposed to be there. Meanwhile, Lois Lane is just right on his tail, and he's not picking up on that. Like, hey, maybe I should protect this. Maybe I should whatever.
It's a willing suspension of disbelief movie, but yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, why didn't he just pick her up, fly her back
You're like,
across?
I heard what you said, but screw it. Let's continue.
He could have just picked her up, zipped her across over, and made her have to walk all the way back over. You know what I mean? He didn't have to explain it or whatever. She wouldn't have even known what happened. But instead, he just ignores it.
Are you saying Superman should have left her to her icy doom?
No, he should have just picked her up, flew her across the canyon, set her back at base camp, and then just went back and see what it would have taken. She's a human. Like,
yeah.
She can't fly back over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
2 seconds later. And instead, what happens is she winds up messing with something there, and then she gets injured.
He has
injured.
To break a robot, like a guard robot that shoots her in the guts, if
yeah,
I recall.
Yeah, and then he has to cauterize the wound. But really, he caused the wound by not protecting her in the first place or getting her out of his business. Like, how could she? You know, so that was a bit much. Like, she just skipped over in a second. It's still
so
the same
day. So what you're
day.
Saying is even though he's Superman, it's always a man's fault. Everything.
It's not always a man's fault. I mean, maybe she was Superwoman, because how the heck did she get over the canyon as quickly as he did and managed to catch up to him? And he's Superman and coatless, you know?
I don't know. It's what you're saying. I was just
yeah,
watching,
stupid.
Was it Dark Knight Rises or whatever?
Yeah.
Tell me why when Bane and all them do the bank shootout, the yeah. heist, it's 9 a.m. and then they're going on the bat cycle 10 seconds later and it's midnight. Riddle me that.
They were counting the money. They were just...
Was it that long of a heist?
They were. They had a squabble.
I mean,
like, should we take the bike? Should we take the truck? Should we...
It looks like...
Where's Steve? Is he in the bathroom? We got to get him out of here.
It's all over HBO right now. Just sit down at the... Maybe 15 minutes in, they knock off the Gotham Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
It looks like it's 10 a.m. Maybe it's 3 p.m. I'll give you 4.
Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes into the chase,
yeah,
it's pitch black. What
yeah.
the F, man?
But maybe it was 5 p.m. You know, it's winter and then the time change and now, well, it's dark. So, you know what I mean?
It's he's supposed to be like a 10 minute chase.
It's not. I don't know, but I didn't like that. I didn't like her query or, you know, her interest in what he was doing. Like, if you're going to talk and you're going to monologue outside, like, why don't you think, what the heck? Like, where's his jacket? How is he just, how did he get over there all the way
why
across?
Why are his nipples hard? It's cold outside.
Yeah, why didn't my camera explode from freezing to death? So I didn't really like that. And
we're literally 3 minutes into the movie right now. I mean, what else you got? This could have been the full episode.
The other thing. Oh, my goodness. The other thing I didn't like was, I mean, there's that, you know, I don't like when directors, they try to preach something to you. Like, they don't fancy their audience smart enough. Like I talked to you before about the end of the last King Kong movie, and they taught King Kong sign language.
Naomi Watts turns to the screen and she's like, "It's not a real gorilla." I remember that. I was taken aback.
No, but he's up on top of the thing, and they did teach him sign language, uh-huh. and he signs beautiful. Uh-huh. Like, we know that. We saw the setup in the beginning.
Oh,
I
didn't really watch it. Do they make one of the characters go like, "He's saying beautiful"?
Yeah, and I just
wanted to really? Die. Really? Like the expository scene earlier where she's like, "This means beautiful, Big Coco."
And then he signs it, and we all know, and it could have been a moving scene, but then they say it, yeah. and I just wanted to, like, shoot the film. I just wanted to, like, tear it all down, God. And I wanted to go King Kong on the place myself. Like, you know, it's very condescending to the audience. Like, they
Brando
fed it to us, yeah.
dies with the orange in his mouth, and then Michael turns to the camera and goes, "That was the Godfather."
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you know, that's condescending. Like, we got it. I'm not a dunce. So whoever directed that can kiss my
Peter grits. Jackson, the Hobbit guy.
Yeah, well, I don't like it.
That was like after he did the three Hobbits. Everyone's like,
I mean,
oh,
maybe the studio made him do it. I don't really know. And maybe they think, hey, you should bring this back around.
Who's the test audience?
Who should you should
Corky
type.
From Life Goes On?
No, you got to
talk. One of the monkey thing.
Exactly. It's horrible. So there's a scene in this movie where they, you know, Superman comes down and he's conflict and they're like, "Well, you're just going to have to trust me. I'm on your side." Superman says to the law enforcement, and it's just one officer and the chick deputy junior person or whatever. And then she says, and there's not only this
chick deputy junior. That's what she was in the credits.
Deputy junior, whatever. Junior deputy.
Chick deputy junior.
Anyhow, she's a ride along or whatever. And they actually break in the film to kind of make her statement kind of more poignant. But you could tell, like, she's Twitter baited or whatever. Anyhow, and then she has to say, "He's hot." And you're like, you know.
Oh, was it something like, "I'd follow you anywhere" type stuff? Or does she literally just say, like, "I want to"?
No, she says, "He's so hot."
"I want my cervix blown through the top of my skull by his super
load." You know,
because
he flies, he stands there, he has his moment. He says, "You know what? You're just going to have to trust me. I'm on your side. I'm going to go get these bad guys, blah, blah, blah." And the officer's, "Okay, let's go." And then she kind of stands there and he's like, "Hey, what's the matter?" Like, and it was kind of like
And literally then they CGI an ocean spray wave coming out of her vagina.
It's so dumb. "He's so hot."
We get it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm all man. And even I know Superman's a dreamboat.
It was so dumb, and it wasn't really necessary. I mean, they could have just showed her with her eyes, and you could have just got it. You knew that she was digging him or whatever.
I think every
so.
Summer movie has yeah. its requisite, like, dumb lines.
Yeah.
Again, going back to Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
How was there even a debate that was, like, an okay movie? It's nothing but one-liners.
I guess. I mean, there was a lot of that, yeah.
It's
I mean, I just
rife
it
with
was,
them.
Yeah.
Catwoman is just one-liners and yeah. tits.
I don't like her, so I mean she's not my thing. I don't really she's not engaging to me on screen. I don't know something about her.
Like I look Christ, if I thought that highly of the Rises, because I yeah. remember when it came out, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
But Superman might deserve a little more credit because it wasn't that much BS just layered on top.
No, like I said, the beginning, other than the whole like I mean, Superman's dad on the dragonfly. You're yeah. just like, why are you taking your pet dog to outsmart this
guy? I just like Kung Fu Scientist.
And then Old Yeller dies. You killed your dog.
It was like Bruce Lee pushing the glasses up on his nose and then taking out like a commando squad that was looking for him.
Yeah, on his dog. You're like, oh gosh, this is so sad. And then I didn't like at the end where there's this epic battle. And to me, the film, then, I didn't mind the romance thing.
That,
because
That
I could,
villain was good, though, right? Michael
Zod
Shannon.
Zod was good.
I love that dude. Yeah. He looks evil in everything.
But, I mean, he was a little kind of, sometimes, like, a little, like, over-villainy a little bit. But, I mean, for
yes, but the way that dude talks, I yeah. love him. He's the huge guy from Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. But he was good, and he definitely plays it well, but... So they have this battle, and I think that to me is kind of where it went wrong. Like, to me, your thing was they moved the romance and the action too close. I thought it was okay, the pace of it, but I would have liked the beginning longer. you know, and then a shorter, the battling and all of that. Like, it was just, to me, the movie could have ended three times. Each time I thought, oh, yay, the bad guys are gone. They flew home. And they're nah, they just went to get another ship.
They're almost like a government agency where it's like, okay, we're giving you $300 million for Superman. Yeah. And it's like, we got to use it all for special effects. And we can't put a lot of special effects into the tender crap. So there's going to be 90 minutes of fighting once we've had a good movie.
I like the fights and I like that kind of thing. But when it just, when you think it's over and you think, oh, he's defeated, he's down, he's whatever.
And he comes back.
And then they get off in the ship and they leave and you're like, woohoo, we won. Yay. And they're like, oh, no, we had a refuel. We were just, we needed snacks. We're coming back. And then you're like, what? They're back. And then they come back down and they battle some more. And you're like, woo, we won. They blew it up. And they're like, no, now I'm fighting on my legs.
Yeah.
You're like, ah, come on. So it could have ended to me like three different times, really. But what happens is, so Lois Lane, she falls out of this craft or something like, and she's going to die. And Superman saves her.
Yeah.
And he puts her on the ground. You're safe. Thank goodness, right? She lives, and he puts her down beside two other survivors who we see throughout the movie, and they're both safe.
Her
and,
coworkers or something, right?
Yeah, and there's all
like
this
Morpheus,
right?
And
there's all this devastation and building residue dust
I was
everywhere.
Say, he still plucks her or puts her down in the middle of a city,
That's
where every building has had its I-beams buckled and could fall if an ant farted on it.
I mean, it looks like a snowstorm from all like a 9/11 just.
Whoa,
for the whole
city. Not on this show.
No, but they were saying like when 9/11, when those explosions happened, although it was just those two buildings, all of that debris and residue was all over the city.
Yeah, it went up the streets for like several blocks. Just
and
the
that's what this looks like, the
of
devastation
it.
Of it. And they're all kind of like covered in
Morpheus
powder.
Looked like he was in whiteface.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you're trying to say.
So he puts her down and I get it. Now he's got to go fight the bad guy. So I'm not so bad about where he left her. Like he didn't take her to Texas or something. He just kind of left her right there. Fine. But what happens is they go, Zod and Superman go at it toe-to-toe, crazy, mad crazy. They're busting into buildings. Now they're going through cities because they bust through a building. Then they roll and they're like in the next city, they're going through a gas station. Tankers blow up. There's millions of explosions. Next you see them through a field, corns flying.
Knock each other to Africa. The gazelles are
exactly
watching.
All over the place. Yeah. What happens? Their big battle. The final thing is kind of like in like a museum or like something that has a big
it is a museum, or like a train station or something. It's just a big cavernous marble building.
Yeah, and so they're in there. Now it's showtime. It's going down. Who knows where this thing is? And here comes Lois Lane. Doop de doop de doop. Hey fellas, are you guys still duking it out or you wanna take some tea time? You want a cupcake or you're still fighting? You don't want to? T.O., can we call? I'm like, what the heck is she doing in here? Buildings are crashing and falling
down.
She's
a reporter. She runs to danger, Allison.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So she got on her, I guess whatever took her over the cavern over there. I guess she got on her super skates, which Superman's dad didn't have.
It's the same way she traversed the ice. She had one of those hidden dragon pets.
I guess.
Don't be stupid.
Like, one, like, how did she wind up where they are? And two, why would you do that? Like, these buildings are coming down. There's explosions. It's fire. Like, they are super powered. Trucks are going everywhere. And you're just, trucks are flying like frisbees.
I mean, it didn't bug me that much because,
it bothered me because
the characters have to be there.
They do have to be there, but they should have just shown scenes of her outside or helping people,
I guess,
or doing the reporter on the street.
That would have been a little better.
Yeah. But just to walk in there.
Like Superman's mom just walks in too. Like, Clark, honey, did you need your coat?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, what?
I you
forgot
you
your
Smallville.
Lunch.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, I get what you're going for.
And then I didn't like the end.
All the Jews.
The end where he has a flashback. You know, his dad is gone or whatever. But he has a flashback of him and his dad, you know, and him in the backyard. And he's a little
playing
boy.
Playing super baseball together?
Exactly. And he has a cape on. But the cape is synonymous with himself. So was he predicting the future that he was going to be this flying man, which his dad suppressed his entire life? Like, hey, don't use it. You're not super. Like,
oh, you mean when Kevin Costner's about to get eaten by a tornado?
No. When they were, it shows.
At the very end, he's running around in his dumb little red cape.
Yeah, and he's like 6 years old. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't like that.
Well, at first, when he was four, he just would wear a lobster bib backwards.
Yeah, but how did he? You know what I mean? Was that one of those innate things or whatever? To me, it was kind of
everyone on Krypton has a cape. That was just inside him.
It was just a napkin. But I mean, it was like his mom's sheet or pillowcase or something.
It's like a white family. The Papadopouloses could adopt Webster, and at age eight, they put on the latest R&B hit, and he's just dancing. They're like, where did he get it?
But I'm saying, yeah, like he doesn't know he's Superman and he struggled with coming to his own. But yet you see him as this cape or whatever. And somebody said, well, maybe there were other superheroes, like he wasn't the first. So they fantasized about something. But the cape and Superman, that's synonymous. Yeah, there were other caped crusaders or whatever. Batman has a cape.
Well,
but
he's literally called the Caped Crusader. You're like, there are other Men of Steel. No, they're Superman.
No, but I mean, there are other, the Black Steel or whatever. There's like, you know what I mean? So many.
The Black Steel? Is that what you just said?
Isn't there like an evil Superman?
This show took a dark turn just now.
I think there's like an evil Superman or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, that's ridiculous. I mean, that cape is his thing. So who was he idolizing? He should have been idolizing, you know, he should have had like Aquaman things on or something.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just could have done this. I mean, just showing
him with his dad
was enough.
Well, yeah, no little kid puts on a cape unless he's Superman pretending gay.
Exactly.
Super gay.
He's training for the drag show.
Yeah.
He's super tranny. And then I didn't like the other thing that they showed, which was good in the beginning. They kind of show him kind of, and that's how he was in the other films with Christopher Reeve, too. He was like this bumbling kind of idiot when it came to everyday life because he was that disconnect of him, probably sensory overload or whatever. Like, it's a big burden to try to hinder all that power that he had. And so he's kind of, when it comes to everyday things, he can't interact properly. You think, well, he's Superman. Why can't he just, you know, be super casual or whatever, or super debonair? But he's not. And you see him that, like, he goes out to sea and he's
super dorky when he's Clark Kent.
That's exactly. And when he's at the bar and he's trying to be the regular guy and he doesn't really hold jobs because he's awkward and
he's super unemployed.
Yeah. And they kind of like keep him around just because, well, he did the Heimlich on the lady down the street. So, he saved my cat.
Ribs out of rectum.
He saved my cat. So we kept him on as a barkeep. But really, he was kind of aimless and he didn't really have much background. And then the final scene in the movie, they just show him. He's like, yeah, I want to work with someone where I can get the pulse of the city and I know what's going on. So he wants to work at the Daily
Planet.
He's
Superman. He can just sprint around the city for 10 seconds. Bam, pulse taken.
Right. Well, the thing is like, yeah, he wants to do that. And then he just gets hired. How have you tried to get into radio and you're just like, you know what? I just want to, you know what I mean? I've got this voice. Let me just work here. And now you're King Sirius. It's not happening.
No.
So they just let him in there. Like, forget it. It's
he didn't have to intern or anything.
No,
they're just like, here's the new paying gig in the biggest city on earth.
But your resume blows because what were you, a sea captain? You caught some bass. You shelled out some beers.
I got a lot of moxie, sir.
And
I'm
going to
work
that,
real hard for you.
But he did all of those things under aliases. So you think that weathers well?
So he's a resume like a child molester that's been driven out of 14 towns.
Well, when you call this... When you call and ask for my, they're going to say, they're going to know me as Jim. Just go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of hokey. So there you have it.
Well, that was a hell of a take. I'm impressed. You retained things. What's that like?
I'm just saying. I did enjoy the beginning. I really did. I liked how they picked up on all that sensory stuff for him and they kind of made it human. And that kind of exposes us to why he's so awkward. You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of times people were thinking, well, he's Superman. Like, come on. Is he really an idiot? Does he really fumble for his pen? But really with all that sensory overload and knowing that you could really, you know what I mean, pick up a TV, but you have to kind of pretend to fit in. Like, oh, you get one end of the sofa, I'll get the other end.
I like how picking up a TV is a superpower to you.
Well, I'm talking about everyday things. It's like pass the butter. Like, he could pass the butter
through your cranium. Yeah.
So to kind of tone all of that down, it does make you awkward. I mean, I don't know what it's like to have that power, but
I do.
Do you?
Every day I come in here and I have to be funny, but not so funny I outshine you.
Right, right. Is that right?
My whole life is holding myself back.
Oh, gosh, you're ridiculous.
Shall we? We're done with this one.
Oh, good. All right.
If we want to be.
Yeah, that's fine.
I do.
Okay.
I want. Allison.
Yes, darling.
You brought it today.
All right, good.
That was good stuff.
I was fired up when I left.
I forgot the dragonfly thing. That, I mean, more that than was, anything.
That was ridiculous.
I get how Lois had to teleport, because if 45 minutes of the movie was her hiking across an icy canyon, wiping her brow.
But I mean,
going,
they could just kind of sweep it that way. Why didn't they just put her already over there? Why did she just see it and now she's hot on his heels? Like, to me, that wasn't good editing.
That's what I'm saying. There were some choppy things where you're just like, oh, we're here now.
Yeah, exactly. So
if they want to get a hold of you
for
all your movie hate, it's at Allison Frank on Twitter. AllisonFrank.
Correct.
I screwed up on the last one. It's so close. God.
K.
K.
Yeah.
Not key.
Close.
Sound like a Spanish man asking what. I'm John Papagiorgio, the mispronouncer. You want me on Twitter, it's at Papa's Basement. Show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for a new episode of this lovely hour-long program.
Wow.
Every Monday, every Thursday. Also go there every Friday. I review a movie that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Whatever the big hit at the box office is, I'm taking the piss out of it. And go to the website and also subscribe to the show on iTunes. You do that with the little link at the top. You click on it, or just get the podcast app if you have an iPhone or an iPad or any iCrap, and just look up Papa's Basement.
If you've got any,
you can
iCrap.
Subscribe that way. iCrap, yeah.
If you've got conjunctivitis, this is for you.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way.